Returning, please, to the Epistle of the Colossians and the fourth chapter, Colossians chapter 4. I intended to mention this morning to you that as I reminded you that our sister Betty Willamachandran was over in Denmark on a mission trip, and she was back in the service this morning, but I did not see her in the service. But nonetheless, she was returned back safely, and we thank you for prayers on her behalf. And I do have a card from her that I'll read out next Lord's Day morning. I won't read it, but I'll leave it for Brother Cranston to read next Lord's Day morning. Colossians chapter 4. Masters, give unto your servants that which is just and equal, knowing that ye also have a master in heaven. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving, with all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be alway with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. All my state shall Tychicus declare unto you, who is a beloved brother and a faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, whom I have sent unto you for the same purpose, that he might know your estate and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they shall make known unto you all things which are done here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, saluteth you, and Marcus, sister's son to Barnabas, touching whom ye receive commandments. If he come unto you, receive him. And Jesus, which is called Justice, who are of the circumcision, these only are my fellow workers unto the kingdom of God, which have been a comfort unto me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. We'll end our reading there at verse 12, praying the Lord would use his word to our hearts tonight. Please, let's bow before him now in prayer. Father, we give thanks tonight again for the great privilege of being here in thy house and of just meditating on the word, singing together the songs and hymns of prayer and praise. And Lord, we ask thee now that as the scripture is open, that our hearts would be open. I pray, dear God, for help from the Holy Spirit to be able to speak thy word clearly and plainly so that no one would misunderstand. Lord, let us all be encouraged in the scriptures, in the word of God. Help us, we pray, to have such a testimony as Epaphras did, a man who labored fervently in prayer for others. Give us the same grace, we ask, Lord, tonight, and teach us what it is to pray. We think of the words that the disciples asked, Lord, teach us to pray. And Lord, we say that tonight. Teach us to pray. Teach us how to pray. Teach us to be engaged in the spirit of intercession and communion with thee day by day. We ask this in our Savior's precious and holy name. Amen. Please, I want to leave with you the second verse of this fourth chapter tonight, the book of Colossians. And it says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. I say to you, if you are a newcomer to our congregation, perhaps you have been joined with us in recent days or even years. From the foundation of this particular congregation and beyond that in the denomination itself, the emphasis upon prayer has been vital from the origin. I was not in the early days of the origin of the congregation, of the denomination rather, but Dr. McClellan goes back into those days. And the emphasis upon prayer that was expressed to me by those who were the founding fathers of our denomination have made a lasting impact upon my own mind and heart. And this congregation itself has come to the place of where it is, not by organization. It has not come by foresight of planning. It has not come because someone sat down and mapped out where we were going to go. But I believe it was because there was a heart in the people of God gathered around the cause of Christ and of seeking the Lord with heart and soul and mind, calling upon the God of heaven, seeking the Lord with all earnestness and with all intensity. And that is why the emphasis that has been made from this pulpit over the years of the vital importance of the prayer meeting in the Church of Christ cannot be underestimated. How will the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ be built? If you want to see how it was developed from the Apostle Paul's point of view, read his epistles, read the exhortations. If we want to understand the importance of prayer that is placed upon by the Holy Spirit, then we read the Scriptures and we find that men and women of God poured out their hearts to the Lord. They sought God. They sought Him with everything that they had, with the intensity and fervor of knowing that if we do not receive from God what we come to seek Him for, if the Lord leaves us to ourselves, we will be destitute. We will come to nothing. The work of God cannot go forward upon any other ground but upon praying ground. It is essential, believer, that we grasp this in our heart. Because you as a Christian will not develop in your own Christian walk until you come to the point of acknowledging your total, absolute dependence upon God, and we seek Him with all of our hearts and souls and minds. What will we see happen in this congregation? What will become of us if we do not have a people who are seeking God day and night, calling out to Him for His hand upon us? The Apostle Paul encouraged these Christians to continue in prayer. And that is our word tonight, you and I, that we will continue before God in prayer. Because quite frankly, believer, if we do not see the essential nature and the vital importance of this, then we will not go forward. And nothing ultimately will become of us other than just another statistic by the way. God calls us as His people to prayer. He calls us to commune with Him. He calls His people to lay hold upon Him, and He gives us promise upon promise. He holds out His hands to us virtually and says, "Seek ye my face. Call unto me, says the Lord, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." Have we forgotten already the motto text of this year? Has it been in our ears and out of our ears? Or have you been seeking the Lord? Oh, friends, I know that some have been calling upon God with greater intensity now than you have maybe for years. And praise God for that great truth. Praise God that we are seeing what the Lord was able to do, stirring the hearts of believers, stirring us that we ourselves would continue in prayer before Him. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 6, it says, "He that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." God told the prophet in Chronicles, "If ye seek Him, He will be found of you." If from thence God said to Moses, "Thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find Him, if thou shalt seek Him with all thine heart and with all thy soul." "Wait on the Lord," David said. "Be of good courage, and He shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, upon the Lord. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from Him. My only hope is from Him, and therefore I seek Him. Behold, as the eyes of the servants look unto the hand of their masters, so our eyes are upon the Lord our God, until that He hath mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually." In the book of Hosea, "Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God continually." In Isaiah, "And I wait, will wait upon the Lord that hideth His face from the house of Jacob, and I will look for Him." In the Song of Solomon, "The door was shut, and as there was the seeker going to find the Lord, He had removed Himself because there was no appetite to seek Him. There was no real heart to find the Lord. And so when there was desperation and there was a time of need and the Lord was being sought after, only to be found out that He had distanced Himself, He had removed Himself away." You know, the Lord, He does not force Himself upon His people, but He calls us to come near to Him. He calls us to seek Him. We were talking in the prayer meeting a couple of services ago, Genesis 32, where Jacob was before God, and he was facing the greatest challenge of his life with Esau coming against him with 400 armed men. And he thought that he was going to be annihilated. And so Jacob got before the Lord. And there wrestled with him that night the angel of God. And as the angel of God wrestled with his servant, Jacob would not let him go. There was a holy tenacity that he gripped on to the angel of God, the Lord Jesus Himself. And the Lord touched the side of Jacob. And his walk was never the same again. And friends, when we have a meeting with God to that degree, our walk will not be the same again. We're told that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. I take great encouragement in that. A man of like passions. A man who felt the same weaknesses that you and I feel. A man whose tendencies were given over sometimes to temptations. A man of like passions as we are. And it we're told that he prayed earnestly, and he prayed again earnestly.
In Matthew 26, the Lord Jesus left them and went away again in the Garden of Gethsemane. And we are told that he prayed the third time, saying the same words. And his soul was in a great agony, and he prayed more earnestly. In 2 Chronicles 15, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord God of their fathers with all their heart and with all their soul. And all Judah rejoiced at the oath, for they had sworn with all their heart, and they had sought God with their whole desire, and he was found of them, and the Lord gave them rest round about. We read tonight from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. To pray without ceasing. Last Wednesday evening, in our prayer meeting, I spoke to you from Luke 18, verse 1. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. And you know the context of that is of a woman who went to an unrighteous judge to seek for reparation for her adversary had come against her. And how the Lord used that very unusual illustration of going to an unrighteous judge. And this woman, as she continued to persevere in prayer, she continued to seek after this answer. And the judge, because he did no longer want to be pestered by this woman, he feared not God, nor did he care about any man's opinion. And what happened? He granted her the petition. And the Lord uses that strange story as a parallel for himself. As a parallel how that if this wicked judge will do such a thing because he is so tired of being pounded by the prayer, by the desire of this woman, will not our Heavenly Father, who loves us with an everlasting love, will He not respond to His own elect, which He says, cry day and night unto Him? God hears our prayers. The Lord wants us to seek His face. So, my dear brothers and sisters tonight, let us be serious about this matter of seeking after the Lord. Prayer is communing with our God. Prayer is asking the Lord for what we have need of. Prayer and supplication is part of the very life breath of the child of God. And as we seek the Lord and as we pray and come to Him to worship Him, we do so in our praying. And when the Lord said men ought always to pray, and we are to pray and not to faint, we are to always be seeking the Lord throughout the course of our day. When you lay your head upon your pillow at night, don't pray that you will go to sleep. Pray rather that God will keep you awake as long as He wants to commune with you. And you will find the sweetest times laying upon your bed with your head upon your pillow. And the Lord is coming by and near you to caress your face and to show you tenderly of His love. Seek Him day and night. As you're driving in your car, turn the radio off and call upon the Lord and pray. You will seek and know Him as you call upon Him. Maybe you find it hard to get through a day, to get through a week, let alone to soar up into the heavenlies in prayer with the Lord, communion. Oh, my friend, the answer is not to turn away from Him, but the answer rather is to turn to the Lord and to run to Him and to seek Him and to knock and to persevere. The purpose and the import of this text of Scripture in Colossians 2 2 is that we might persevere, continue on, be relentless in seeking Him. As we continue in prayer before the Lord tonight, we have so many examples in Scripture that are presented to us, and of course the greatest of all examples is the Lord Jesus Himself. For you cannot read His life and examine the Gospels without knowing that He was one who communed with His Heavenly Father. He prayed and sought fellowship with His Father continually. We're told in Luke 22:44 that He prayed more earnestly. Our Savior persevered in prayer for us while we were yet sinners. While we had no thought of God, no intention of the Lord, Christ our Redeemer was interceding for us before His Heavenly Father. And but you might say, well, do you lack a burden for the ungodly? Do you lack a burden for sinners, your neighbors, and people who you see around you? How then do you get a burden? Why, I would suggest to you, you go to the place where the Savior was praying for you in Gethsemane, and you will see there the heart and the passion of your Lord pouring out His heart for you as a sinner for me. And therefore the place where we gather and would get a burden for others is in the place of prayer before God ourselves. For the Lord Jesus displayed a heart-emptying intercession on behalf of others. And then we would go to John 17, the high priestly prayer of Christ, when we are intruders as we read that portion of Scripture. Because you are coming right into the private prayer closet of the Son of God. And you see there displayed the passion of the Savior. And to meditate upon John 17 and to see in all the aspects of our Lord's communion, we do well to take that example of what our Lord and how He prayed. But God has left us other examples, not just the one we have of Christ, because sometimes you might think, as I do as well, okay, the Lord Jesus was perfect. And in His perfection, why would He not pray? And how could He not commune with perfect communion with His Father? And well, we know that is true. And so the Lord has also granted for us other examples. I think of Moses and how in Deuteronomy chapter 9, He gives us one of the most precious examples of a man who persevered for others who were away from God, backsliders. He says in Deuteronomy 9:24, "Ye have been rebellious," Moses said to Israel, "against the Lord from the day that I knew you." So he wasn't soft-peddling it to them. He told them directly the way it was. "You have been rebels away from God from the day I knew you. Thus I fell down before the Lord 40 days and 40 nights. As I fell down at the first, because the Lord had said that He would destroy you. And I prayed therefore unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, destroy not this people and thine inheritance, which thou hast redeemed through thy greatness, which thou hast brought forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand." Moses was jealous for the honor of his father, his heavenly Father. And as Moses was approaching before God and said, "Don't destroy this people, what will become of your name?" he had the honor of the Lord before his mind. And oh, my friends, as we come to pray on account of others, do you know someone who is not walking with God, a backslider? Do you know someone who has at one time professed faith in Christ and yet they are distant, they're away, they're not walking with God anymore? Do you know someone who has perhaps come against you in strife and anguish and they have hurt you? Do you know someone like that? Are you praying and interceding to God on their behalf? You think of what happened in the life of Job. And how Job, who was a righteous man and yet was under great affliction by the providential allowance of God in his life, the trial that was allowed to be placed upon him, God knew all about it in every detail. And the Lord allowed that to continue on and proceed in his life. And Job found that those who were to be helpers next to him turned out to be those who were injurious to him. And Job actually said, yes, miserable comforters that you are. He said, if I was in your place, I would not do what you're doing to me. But Job acknowledged, you have no words to comfort me. And yet at the end, God said to Job, pray for your friends. And in truth, Job himself would not have known healing. There would not have been restoration. There would not have been help for him had not Job continued in prayer earnestly for his friends that had turned against him. And my dear friend, the same applies to you. For whoever it has been in your life that has offended you, whoever that has turned against you or given you a raw deal, but do you know them, the brother and sister in the Lord? You know that. Don't ignore them before God. Don't wish them anything other than bringing them to God earnestly in prayer and seeking for their restoration, seeking for help, seeking for blessing upon them. This is the Spirit of the Lord. This is what Christ would have us do. This is the example that Moses sets before us to plead for the people of God. And Samuel is another tremendous example of that, because as they rejected Samuel and they wanted a king, they ultimately had rejected God as well. And we find that when Moses could have turned away from them in their wicked rebellion against God and all that he was purposing to do, yet no, Samuel said, I will not sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. You see, Samuel knew God. He knew God by prayer, and he knew the essence of continuing to seek the Lord in prayer. He knew what it was to call upon God, even when perhaps he himself felt not much like it. I think of the example of Elijah. We already mentioned him as he's recorded in the New Testament, how he persevered for an abundance of rain. And Elijah's life was characterized by prayer and by many mighty deeds for God. And we're told in the New Testament that as he prayed that it might rain first of all, and then that it might not rain first, and then rain would come, he was on the top of the mountain when he was praying that, wasn't he? And as he sought God, he sent his servant, go and see, is the cloud coming yet? Seven times. When they had not had rain for 3.5 years, and the place was completely dry, and the sky was blue with not a cloud in it, and yet Elijah's praying for rain. How would we have continued in that case, I wonder? Would we have persevered past the first time, second time when no answer comes, the third time when we think God's not listening, he's not answering? And how many times have we given up in our intercession seeking the Lord when we're commanded to continue in prayer, but we have given up? Has there been blessing that is missed from our life? In Elijah's case, God gave him that word. He believed in God and he persevered, and there was the cloud the size of the man's hand that arose over the horizon, and soon the rains were upon them. Great rain. And Elijah, though a man of temptations and weak feelings like you and me, yet he believed, and that God would do exceeding abundantly above all that he asked or thought. And the Lord heard and answered his prayer. I think of the man Daniel. A man in the Bible, in the rare case where there is not a sin that is recorded against him in the Bible, it does not mean that he was not a sinful man, but it means that he was before God a choice servant. And Daniel as he was reading in the prophecy of Jeremiah that the 70 years of captivity was about to be fulfilled, he then began and got before God for 21 days, and he sought the Lord based upon the promise that he found and read in Jeremiah's prophecy that God was going to restore his people. And so here is Daniel confessing his sins, confessing the sins of himself and his nation before the Lord, realizing and recognizing we are not worthy of receiving anything from your hand, and yet I'm praying on the promise. I'm praying on the word of God. And that what Daniel did, my dear friend, is exactly what you and I are enabled to do, to pray upon the promises of God's holy word. How many times have we let the Lord go before he blessed us? We are called in our continuance of prayer to be specific in the prayers that we are praying. If you think of a marksman who is aiming at a target, he does not aim at the locality of the target. He does not even aim at the outer ring of the target. But where does he aim? He aims at the bullseye. He aims to hit the target that he is addressing. And you and I sometimes in our praying can be extremely general, so general in our praying that when the answer comes, we would not know if it was given or not. The Lord admonishes us many times that we are to be specific in our praying and seeking and asking the Lord for the thing we have need of. And this idea of continuing in prayer and persevering before the Lord is that we would be specific with God. Because when we are, the Lord hears and answers very specific prayers. Sometimes the tendency we have is to give up. We've already mentioned that. And when we don't seem to see an answer coming, if you consider someone who is in the purpose of a fisherman, whether by sport or by their trade, probably more so by their trade, but even sportsmen take this very, very seriously. And they have great patience, that which I do not have for fishing. I like something that's motorized, that goes a little faster over the water than something that's just sitting in one place. And I don't really have the patience for fishing. But if someone does, and they have been out there for a long period of time and they have caught nothing, they will pull up the line and they will find that, oh, maybe the hook got caught in some seaweed, and the bait has now been torn off. What do? Do they just break their fishing rod in half and throw it overboard and say, I'm done with this, I go home? No, they go back into the box of worms or whatever their bait is, and they put more bait on the hook, and they go back in the water again, and they wait further. Now, they might move to some other location where they think they're going to have better opportunity, but they don't give up. They continue to check their bait and put the hook back in the water again. They continue on. They persevere. Let's not be so easy to give up when we are calling on the Lord for something and we don't seem to get the answer right away. Who knows, but just around the corner, the Lord may be ready to answer our specific prayer. Alexander McLaren, he wrote this: there should run through all our lives the music of continual prayer. Our lives will then be noble, grave, and woven into a harmonious unity when they are based upon continual communion with the Lord, the living God, and our hearts are in submission to Him. Yes, friends, we are to continue before the Lord in prayer. I want you to notice also the attitude that we are to have in prayer. And I will be brief on this. The attitude we are to have in prayer. Well, we're told back in Colossians 4:2 that we are to watch in prayer. Watch what? Well, we are to watch against wandering thoughts. And I know that affects you in prayer because it affects every single one of us as Christians. What happens when you get to get alone with God? The devil doesn't want you to pray. He knows that a Christian on his knees or her knees is someone who is going to be in touch with God. And so he tries many different tactics to divert us from getting along with God. And we are coming to watch before the Lord. Well, we become overcome at times with wandering thoughts. And sometimes thoughts that are so discouraging to the heart, that are so demoralizing to you that you think, how could it be possible that in the very sacred and solemn place in prayer that such thoughts would come through your mind? But that's exactly what happens, and we must be very careful with wandering thoughts, and therefore it takes part of that which is diligent. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and therefore we are to become very diligent before the Lord in seeking Him. And when those wandering thoughts come into your mind, you must bring those thoughts into captivity in subjection to the obedience of Christ. And as we do that, by the grace and power of the Lord, we will come under the discipline of prayer and seeking God. We are to watch for unbelief in prayer, not just wandering thoughts, but unbelief. Let not him think that he shall receive anything from the Lord when we ask in unbelief. We come to pray, and we come to seek the Lord, maybe based upon His promise, but in your heart there's a reservation of unbelief. A reservation, well, I don't really think God's going to answer my prayer anyways. And so that resistance or reservation is part of unbelief, and we need to pray that out of our soul before the Lord as we are continuing to call upon Him, to watch for wandering thoughts and watch for a sense of unbelief that God will even answer my prayer. Put that out of our head and say, oh God, deal with my unbelief. Pray the prayer that man who came to the Savior said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. Because I come and I face the very real issue of doubt. But I bring that very doubt to the Lord. And I say, Lord, take away that which is a great grief to my soul and that which is my unbelief and exchange it with a gracious, gracious belief and faith that comes from the Lord. We pray that God will deliver us from a cold, dull heart in prayer. You know, when that's the case, what happens to us is that our prayer becomes a ritual. It becomes just what we do to go through the motions to say, well, I can put the checklist off on my list. I've done my reading, I've done my prayer, and all is good to go. We have to be so careful that we don't turn our prayers into a mantra. We don't turn our prayers into something that is just done for the sake of doing it, just to get us through, and we pat ourselves on the back and think that all is good. No, friend. That's not the spirit and the heart of what the Lord is saying to us here. We are to come before Him. There's a great aspect of this verse of Scripture that will encourage and carry us along, and that is a spirit of thanksgiving. Yes, we are to continue in prayer. Yes, we are to be watchful in prayer, but most definitely we are to have the spirit of true thanksgiving before God. Because if that spirit of thanksgiving consumes our hearts and possesses us, that even when the trial is upon us, we will still have the true heart before the Lord of praising Him for all He has done to us. Let our prayers, as much as lies within us, always begin with a true spirit of praising and thanking God for His mercies to us. Count your many blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. He is no man's debtor. What the Lord has done for us, as we thank Him for, He receives praise and honor to His own name. E.M. Bounds, a man who has written extensively on prayer, we're reading a few sections of that in our prayer time Sunday evening, just before the evening service, a couple of paragraphs. He wrote this: what the church needs today is not more machinery or better machinery, not new organizations or more novel methods, but men whom the Holy Ghost can use. Men of prayer, men mighty in prayer. The Holy Ghost does not flow through methods, but He flows through men and women. He does not come on machinery, but He comes on people. He does not anoint plans, but He anoints men of prayer. Let us take this to heart tonight and pray that we will continually seek the Lord by the power of His Spirit that abides within us, by the enabling grace of God, that we will persevere, that this congregation and church that was formed and born in the spirit of prayer, where the prayer meetings were the life breath of the congregation, oh, let that fervor be renewed in all our hearts. And let us redouble our efforts before the Lord to seek Him, because as we do, God will answer our prayers. He has committed Himself to that for Jesus' sake. And let that be our reception of faith that we have taken from Him tonight. Let's bow before Him. Father, as we bring a message like this to a close, we sometimes are fearful to even open our mouth in prayer because we sense our weakness and we sense the accusation possibly of hypocrisy or going through the motions. Lord, I ask Thee tonight in Jesus' name that we would be delivered from all the pretense, all the formality, all the things, O God, that have in the past held us back, that have kept us from going on and through with Thee. And I pray, Lord, as we do not seek for some emotional experience, we don't seek, O God, for just a little stirring of the heart. We long before Thee, Father, tonight and pray for a gracious outpouring of Thy Spirit in the abundance of rain. Come spiritually and powerfully upon this work and this place. Lord, set us apart and aside for Thine honor and for the glory of Thy kingdom. We cannot go on, Lord, on our own steam. We can't go forward to do anything for Thee by our own ingenuity. Lord, come upon each one of us, we ask tonight, with great power. Come upon everyone from pastor to elder to deacon to everyone in the congregation. O God, we stand tonight in great need. We stand at a threshold. And Lord, we are praying to Thee to do what we cannot do ourselves. Step in, Lord. It's time for Thee to work. Hear our prayer. Deal with our hearts. Deal with my own heart, Lord, I pray. Be with us now. Take us to our homes in safety and rejoicing. Lord, we have so much to be thankful for. We don't mean in any way to minimize or fail to give thanks for the day of small things and of blessings that we have received abundantly. Lord, You have been so kind to us. You've been so gracious, and we have so much. And yet, O Lord, we would say, lengthen our cords and strengthen our stakes, and take us to another level with our God. Do, Lord, what we cannot do ourselves. Search us out, we pray. Reveal our sin. Give us grace to confess and forsake. And Lord, we pray that there would be holiness and true righteousness seen in every one of thy people here. So, Lord, part us now in thy fear and with thy rich blessing on us. We ask all this in our Savior's precious name. Amen.